In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
TNA present Rebellion on Saturday, April the 20th, emanating from Las Vegas. And you can watch it on TNA Plus and DAZN. And you can keep up with TNA on YouTube Insiders as well. You can keep up with this man as well, one of the newest additions to the all-new TNA roster. He is a beast of a man as well, said respectfully. It's Hammerstone. How we doing, Hammerstone?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Now, as well as being a unit of wrestling in the ring, you're also a cook, right?
that's some deep digging you did.
I did a little bit of digging. Now, with that in mind, what's for dinner tonight, sir?
Right now I'm in a diet prep for Rebellion, so the dinner tonight is whitefish and vegetables. Been the same dinner for the last 2 weeks, so it's pretty miserable. You know, that being said, if I was able to, cook my desired meal, maybe it'd be like a grilled cedar plank salmon with a cream sauce and some white rice or something like that, you know.
Can you not add like a little bit of something to the fish, or is it not even a little bit of spice?
I said cream sauce in my dream, but right now, yeah, it's just salt and some garlic salt, you know. Just hey, it's okay. I'm gonna show up to TNA Rebellion and I'm going to be absolutely shredded, so you're gonna know, like, hey, that guy was not lying about that fish and veggie diet.
It's handy because if you were stranded on a desert island, on Cultaholic Island, you could do the fishing and you could stick to your diet. But we're not going to make you do that. But we are going to ask you, whilst you're metaphorically trapped on Cultaholic Island, to choose three wrestling matches that you would watch to keep you occupied while you're there. We're going to go through them over the next half an hour that we've got today, sir. So what would you like the first match to be?
So thinking of three is a little bit hard. First one's easy. It's Lesnar versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 19.
Now, 2003, this was a match where they both went into it a little bit worse for wear. One came out particularly worse for wear, but it's a phenomenal piece of business. Why did this match spring to mind?
I just remember watching that at the time and just thinking, like, it was just the most incredible thing. It was so physical and it was just like, just so crazy seeing these behemoths just go, and like, it's just like you felt like these guys had like an unlimited gas tank, unlimited power bar. And then when you are able to go back to it and watch it through the lens of understanding how hurt they were, and there's actually a bump in the match where Kurt Angle breaks his neck. It's a simple bump. I think it's something like a shove off or something like that, and he takes his back bump, but you could see his body just kind of stopped. Like, it doesn't, like, and you could tell, like, man, he just broke his neck right there again. It's just insanity. Like, these guys were just so crazy. And, like, I still think that's one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. But then it hurts me because you just realize, like, if he had nailed that shooting star press, like, that would have been probably the greatest WrestleMania moment ever. But, like, even with that botch, it's still one of the best matches I've ever seen. And I loved watching it as just a pure fan. And then even once, you know, you kind of like learn the business and like you watch stuff that you used to like, and it's different because now I'm a wrestler and you watch it through a different lens, but it still holds up just as much, if not more.
Because this match would have been won before you were in the ring. By this point, would you have still been playing drums in high school?
I wasn't even in high school yet.
Oh, Matt, you're making us all feel old. So at this point, though, so would you? How old would you have been when this match was broadcast?
What, 12?
12 years. Yeah, you wouldn't be playing drums just yet, though. That's the thing.
I was playing drums, but not in high school.
So what inspired you to get into drums?
Man, I loved, well, my dad was a musician. So growing up, I always had that, you know, kind of like in the household. But it's just something that always seemed so cool to me. Like I was always just enthralled with the drum set when I was young. And also like once I got into it, it was the first thing I was good at, you know? So it's like, once you kind of get like some positive reinforcement from people like admiring you for something, you kind of tend to kind of dive headfirst into it.
It was something you did with your brother as well. You know your band, The Chase. You know The Chase.
I do. I'm surprised that you do.
Were there other names that you were going to call your band, you and your brother?
So we were a band for probably a solid year before we actually named ourselves because we just couldn't think of anything. We finally came up with a name because we were entering our school talent show, I believe. So we had to have a name, and or we were playing our first live show and we didn't have a name. So we just had to finally come up with one, and we just kind of pulled the trigger. There was nothing else that we had kind of like really leaned into, but there was a lot of stuff that our guitar player wanted to like name us, and they were all terrible. He was like, the Illustrious Sirs was one. Two-Piece Trio was one. I think at one point my brother wanted to call us the Buttons. I don't know. It was just...
Please welcome to the stage, the Buttons. Ah, it doesn't scan.
They were all terrible, you know?
Do you miss music?
I mean, well, I still play. I don't play drums, but I play guitar now. Even as recent as like last September, I was playing live shows with a band. We lost our singer, so we're kind of in a state of flux. But yeah, I still play. I still write. I don't play drums anymore, which is kind of peculiar. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that I live in a condo, and if I played a drum set, I would get kicked out of here in about like 15 minutes. But you know, I eventually started playing guitar while I was in high school, and somehow over time that became my predominant instrument, and now I play and write on that.
Has there been ever been any consideration to merging your love and your passion for wrestling and your love and passion for music? I just think the world is ready for a new Man Mountain Rock, Hammerstone.
See, here's the thing. There's this huge disconnect because you see Hammerstone on this big, you know, 260, 270 pound musclehead brute, and I beat the crap out of people. I hit all these power moves. But the music I write is like alternative white girl hipster indie music. So, like, people are like, oh man, like, I want to hear your band. And they think it's going to be like metal. And it's like weird alternative math rock stuff, you know? It doesn't. There's a huge disconnect there.
But you say there's a disconnect, but I kind of think the more you think about it, it's actually more intimidating that you come down looking like a beast, playing the guitar, playing a bit of Death Cab for Cutie, and then you beat the shit out of someone.
I will say it's always funny whenever we played shows because, you know, I typically wear a tank top because I'm a vain asshole. And
I look like you, I would wear just a tank top.
my guitars are all like, I don't know if you're familiar with guitars, but it's Explorer. It's a very pointy shaped, kind of like an iconic metal guitar. For some reason, that's visually what I'm attracted to. But then I'm on stage there playing like chill alt rock. And like, I just feel like there's something funny about it, especially because none of my band members are obviously of the bodybuilder type. So I just look like so out of place. Like, why is this guy doing this?
But that's the best when it's like that. That's brilliant, though. That is. But it's another thread to your bow. But wrestling, of course, is why you're here and why you're doing stuff with TNA. I want to touch on that in a second. But let's do your second match then, sir. What would you like your second one to be?
Another. Well, this is will be an easy one to say. Almost made the cut because it's a pairing that I already said. Maybe the Angle versus Lesnar Iron Man match.
Brilliant stuff. So the thing I love about the Angle Lesnar Iron Man match is it feels so different to any other Iron Man match that it was just an hour of just frenetic energy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. You know, Brock did kill a little bit of time in the beginning there, kind of like chicken shitting around the ring a bit. But yeah, it's just like once you watch that and then like you take in the like. You watch it back through the lens after becoming a professional wrestler and understanding like, damn, going that long. And like me, myself being a bigger guy, like, I know that when I'm on the heavier side, like getting up to like 270 pounds, like that's the heaviest I typically wrestle at. It's a challenge for me. It is hard to keep going. Like I have to work so hard to keep my wind tank, you know, like able to, you know, compete at a high level. Like, people are always like watching my, you know, social media. Why do you do so much cardio? I thought are you trying to lose weight? I'm like, no, I'm trying to gain weight, but like, I have to be able to go in the ring. And it's like carrying this body weight. Like people don't understand if they're 210 pounds, like another 60 pounds on your frame, like weighs you down. So to understand that, like Brock is 280 pounds, like just going and going, it's awesome. It's so incredible to watch.
I think people forget that because it's like going for a run with a backpack of bricks on. The people wouldn't do that anyway, and you're doing that, but the backpack of bricks is your actual body. So you've got to work a little bit harder to make it happen. Your career has been unlike anyone else's, and that's the one thing that we love about you. It's bespoke, and you find yourself in TNA now, and you've settled into that roster, that team, so beautifully well. But we know there's been at least three occasions where WWE have come a call in, and it's and from your experience, what stopped that deal from getting done? Because it feels like whether it's, you know, concerns about tests or whether it's just getting ghosted by them, it seems like with them, you always slip through the cracks.
Well, I won't say slip through the cracks because I think up until the last time I tried out with them, I don't think I was WWE caliber. And, you know, before we get started, people always love to take like a small clip of like these comments and spin it like I'm all bitter and like I hate WWE because of it. I'm like holding this grudge, which it couldn't be further from the truth.
No.
I'm very happy with the way my career has turned out. But that being said, the very first time I got a tryout with them, I think I had probably had 10 wrestling matches, perhaps. They basically saw my 8x10 and were like, let's give this guy a tryout because I looked good. So I had no business even being there. Like I got so destroyed on the blow up drills. I got destroyed on everything they did to me. I was just not ready for it. So by the second time I tried out, yeah, I was in shape, but I was still very green, very raw. Didn't really have like the confidence of like, not only like, to carry a match, but to carry myself as like a man. Like I still was very much like a boy hoping to get a job. Like, please, sir. Like I love this so much. Can I please have a job? You know, and the third time I went there, I did think I was ready. I think this was what, 2017, 2018, something around there. I did think at that point, you know, I was ready at least at the very least to be entered into their system. You know, I maybe wasn't a polished pro, but I was like, I could go into NXT and very much climb up that system and thrive. That being said, that was the one time where I did kind of get like told I was hired. And then a couple months later, they said, oh, actually, we hired too many people. NXT is like at double its capacity. So we're going to have to wait. And I'm like, what does that mean? And I'm like, at that point, like they had told me I was moving in a couple of weeks, and I was like, I just changed my whole life for this. Like, what are we doing? They're like, oh, we don't know. Like, it could mean that we get back in touch in 6 months, or it could mean we get back in touch in a year. It's like, oh, okay, so like I'm not hired at all. Like, oh, for right now, no. Like, what? Like, it was just such a heartbreak. So at that time, you know, I kind of shifted gears and put my focus on like, okay, well, I'm going to give this, you know, kind of revamp my character, revamp my presentation, and give this one more go. And if nothing good comes from it, from some other company, then I'm going to quit. And a couple months later, I signed my first wrestling contract and kind of put my career on a new trajectory. So it all worked out. But that being said, there's plenty of guys who have similar stories, you know, it's just the timing wasn't right. But I definitely think at that time I was not undeniable. I think at that time I was like, this good guy could be something, but it was like, I wasn't something yet, you know? So
they've done more with less, basically.
Yes. You know, but that being said, it's like, I always say the guys who succeed in wrestling are the guys who don't quit, because there's a lot of guys who you look at and you're like, man, if that guy just would have held out like two more years, like, you know, but they just, the business beats you up. The business is, it crushes your ego over and over, and you get demolished and you have to pick up the pieces and rebuild stronger. And if you're able to do that enough times, you will be successful in most cases. But most guys, like, that happens to them a couple times, and after they get broken, they might keep wrestling, but they don't have the same fire. They're not still really going after it. They start slacking in the gym, or they start slacking in their promos or their presentation, or they stop caring about getting new gear or being active on their social media because, you know, their spirit's been crushed. So it's the guys who are able to take that over and over again and make it light a fire in them. Who are able to go somewhere. And I use that fire to get to where I'm at now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And it carried you so well to TNA, and it went through MLW as well, where you spent 644 bloody days as MLW World Heavyweight Champion. And you left of your own volition. You went, this is my time to go now. I'm going to go and seek pastures new and see what else is on the horizon for me. Was there a moment when you realized that you'd done all you can in MLW? Was there a particular moment where you went, that's it for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just my entire last year, kind of. You know, it's a lot of factors, but it's like, dude, I'm now 33. At the time I was 32, and realizing, like, I remember being the 20 year old kid in locker rooms and showing up to shows and people like, how old are you, kid? Oh, you're this age. You have your whole career ahead of you. You're going to be a star. You're going to be this, you're going to be that. And that lasted for a couple years. And then it started to become like, oh, you're 27. Oh, better start making your money, kid. And then it was like, oh crap, like I'm 32. Like I'm not going to be able to do this forever. So whatever left that I want to chase, I want to do new things. And I just kind of become complacent. I thought I wasn't in a position to give that company more value, because it's like, what more could I do for them? It wasn't necessarily what more can you do for me, but it was like, you know, kind of a mutual thing where it's like, it just felt like I was at a point where I wanted to move on and tackle a new challenge, and TNA has provided that for me. And I'm very happy to take on this new challenge, and it's been super exciting, and it's really reinvigorated me thus far.
What was it about the TNA deal that was offered that really sang for you? What was it that made you go, this is where I need to be now?
You know, it's not so much about what was in the deal, because it's like when you talk about you're talking to multiple wrestling companies, and the numbers being thrown around are all in similar ballparks. But the fact was this: with TNA, by the time we talked about a deal and a contract and numbers and all that, I had already debuted at Hard to Kill. I'd already been given 20 minutes to go out there with one of their absolute best wrestlers on a pay-per-view, showcase what I could do, no restraints on what I'm allowed to do, how I'm allowed to present myself. So they showed that faith in me. They showed that level of, confidence in me as a talent to do that. Like, that means a lot. There's a lot of people who have been signed to a wrestling contract for the last year and haven't got to wrestle 20 minutes on pay-per-view combined. So that being said, to get to do that in a singles match and one of the biggest shows of the year, it's like that was a clear sign of, what they thought of me and what my trajectory could possibly look like at the company as long as I, held up to the standard they expected of me. So it's like, by the time the offer came, it's like, I knew that if I showed up here, this was going to be a place where I got to go out there and wrestle, got to have a canvas to create the art that I wanted to create. And that's important, because there's some places it's that, like, yeah, you're collecting a paycheck, but nobody even knows you exist. And that's sad and that's unfortunate. And I'm not trying to talk down on anybody, because if they're happy doing that, they're happy doing that. But I know I'm not at a phase in my career where I want to do that yet. I very much want to go out there and still create a legacy. And I feel like at TNA, I can do that.
You want to get out there and you want to earn your keep. You want to go out there and push and push some of the best ones in there. And you're going after Josh Alexander immediately. How does that make you feel, knowing that obviously you've come from such a high position within MLW and you're finding your feet in TNA, but they immediately factor you in there with a guy who's carried the company into this new era? That must be a great boost of confidence for you from them to show that they are willing to invest in you as well.
Well, like I said, yeah, it is a very good boost of confidence, but it's kind of like I kind of wanted to have accepted anything else. Like, if granted, I very much understand that I have a mountain to climb and I have a lot of work to do and I have that work cut out for me. But, if I was going to show up and just kind of be like obscurely there, I guess you'll do this time. I guess maybe we could have you do this. It's like, I didn't want to be that. So I understand, like, yeah, I don't expect to have a world heavyweight championship match next month. But at the same time, it's like, I have to earn my keep within TNA. But in the same regard, I have earned a certain level of respect outside of the company in the grander world of professional wrestling that, it should be taken into account when I come into a company. So as long as I continue to produce results, hopefully I continue to climb up the ladder, and if I fumble the ball, I surely expect to be kicked back down and have to climb back all over again. So that, that's the kind of attitude I bring. And like you said, it's a boost of confidence, but it's just like, kind of like a what's next now.
What's your third and final match going to be then? So, I mean, we've looked at some bangers across here. Angle and Lesnar get in their flowers as well. What's your third one going to be then, Hammerstone?
Maybe I'll choose the Styles, Daniels, and Joe triple threat.
Ah, we're going classic TNA for this one.
Yeah. Well, that's the match that really got me into TNA. Because like I said, when I first started wrestling, I wasn't familiar at all with independent wrestling. Actually, for a couple of years there, like after high school, during high school, I got out of professional wrestling altogether. I stopped watching it, and then kind of got into it like my senior year, graduating, and then like started kind of like watching WWE here and there again. But I wasn't really heavily a fan, and then like I really started to get back into it. So by the time I started training, I didn't really know what independent wrestling was at all. And I wasn't really familiar with TNA. So I started kind of, what I started doing was going to we have these it's called Zia Records. It's a used record store. They sell old movies and stuff. They have those out here. They would have a section with old wrestling DVDs. And I went and bought a TNA wrestling DVD and popped it in. And that was the match that I was like, oh my God, like this is insane. And so that's the kind of match that introduced me to TNA. So I'll go with that.
to be in the mix now for TNA, obviously you're working with Josh Alexander and you're working with a fabulous, passionate, engaged locker room as well. I've been very lucky to have been in that locker room when I was ring announcing for the UK tour, and it is a real close-knit family. What's your vibe being backstage with the Impact locker room?
You know, I'll harken it back to At Hard to Kill when I say, you know, I was an outsider coming in and taking a spot on a pay-per-view, like a pay-per-view that people want to be on, people want a singles match, and I'm some outsider guy getting a spot on that show. It's very easy to assume that there would be some people who would treat me badly, you know, or maybe be like, who the hell is this guy? But everyone was so cool. Everyone was so welcoming. Everyone, like you said, it's just very much a hardworking, passionate locker room with like, everybody wants the product to succeed. Everyone is watching the monitor, hoping everyone kills it. And to get that kind of vibe, it's cool. You know, it's very refreshing in the world of professional wrestling, which can be a little bit, you know, cutthroat at times and not so friendly.
Yeah, you've got two nights with the Impact, with the TNA locker room, Impact taping and Rebellion in April in Vegas. Will you have much downtime to do stuff in Vegas?
Even if I did, when I'm in work mode, I am in work mode, you know, like there's some guys who like to go out and party. I'm not one of them, you know, especially as I've gotten older, it's gotten worse. I've gotten more and more just cantankerous. And I just, you know, give me my food and put me in my hotel room. Let me get a good night's sleep. And I'm going to like, I'm very focused on the wrestling, you know? You know, that being said, I think after I whooped Josh's ass at Rebellion, I think I'm going to try to go out with some of the boys, at the very least, to get a celebratory cigar or something of that nature.
Nice. Is there a branding question that Hammerstone likes to go with the cigars?
I'd go with a cow flathead.
Good shout. Well, look. Here is to a future in Impact Wrestling, and it is a future of TNA Wrestling with plenty of cigars, good memories, and a lot of people getting their heads bashed in by Hammerstone. That's how we like it.
There we go.
Josh Alexander and Hammerstone, part of the Rebellion lineup for TNA, Saturday, April 20th in Las Vegas. You can watch it on TNA Plus. And, of course, fans across the international waters can watch Impact on TNA Plus, DAZN, and on the Impact Insiders page as well at YouTube. It's a brand new era, and Hammerstone is part of it. Hammerstone, thank you for taking a trip to Cultaholic Island with us today, and best of luck at Rebellion.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.